This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Europe. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London, just back from Berlin. So Joe has the perspective of the two major players in the past in military affairs in Europe. The major player now that we're all watching very closely is Germany. But I begin with the headlines of how shocking these days are. The Telegraph in London, women and children dying every hour. Civilian death toll hits 2,000. That's a quote. We also have Russian paratroopers storm Kharkiv after devastating rocket attacks. It doesn't get any better when you move to the Financial Times. What we're looking at here is a catastrophe in real time. Missiles rain on Ukrainian cities as Russia steps up bombardment campaign. And then the finances of this, because Europe's paying for this depredation, paying in each and every home. Oil soars to $113 as European energy groups shun Russian crude. At the same time, we have to deal with the doubts about the roads ahead. Russia pounds cities. This is the London Times. Russian pounds cities as dogfights break out over Kyiv. I read that headline and I thought, what? Dogfights? Yes, it's true. According to the subhead, Ukrainian and Russian warplanes were engaged in dogfights over the Kyiv region as other urban centers come under heavy bombardment. Dogfights. Not since the Battle of Britain have we heard about dogfights over a major city. Joe, a very good evening to you. Welcome back from Berlin. Your column last week was right at the eve of Germany making a momentous decision to exit from Ostpolitik for the last 6 or 7 decades and to rearm, to lead Europe again. So what did you identify in your column, the weakness of Germany? What did they listen to in you and other voices that the Bundestag made this decision and that Olaf Scholz, a socialist all his life, is now leading Germany back to the front lines? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Well, I mean, if you want to cast your thoughts back to a week ago, last Thursday, when we woke up and we had the news that Russia had launched its full-bore invasion of Ukraine, there was enormous pessimism across Europe, because I think that there was a feeling that in the run-up to this crisis, European governments, particularly the new German government of Chancellor Olaf Scholz, had been disorganized and weak, that they had not shown sufficient resolve coming up with packages of sanctions to try to deter this invasion. And there was no reason to think that things would get any better. And yet, miraculously, they did. Something about this invasion seems to have prompted an enormous reckoning very quickly across Europe. And within days, on Sunday, Chancellor Scholz, who had been criticized, only hours before for his, seemingly weak and non-committal response to this crisis, delivered a speech to the Bundestag, the German parliament, in which he announced the most significant reorientation of German foreign policy since 1945. I mean, that is the degree of shock that we have here. Germany is going to ramp up its military spending in line with NATO to meet its NATO commitment of spending 2% of GDP on defense. They're making a 100 billion euro down payment this year. That's 113 billion U.S. dollars of a special supplementary defense budget that they're doing to kickstart this ramped up spending. They've got a policy now for energy independence. Things are on the table that were not on the table, not just a week ago, were not on the table 4 days ago. Things like keeping some of their nuclear reactors online longer to continue generating electricity, delaying the phase out of coal so that they can make sure that they have those supplies, building 2 new terminals to import natural gas instead of focusing exclusively on renewables. as the transition away from Russian gas. And they're talking about how they are no longer going to pursue a policy of talking to Moscow for talking's sake. I mean, Germany had always thought of themselves as this bridge between, this diplomatic bridge between East and West. What they've realized is that Putin is only driving tanks across that bridge. And so I think that they are pulling away from the entente that they've tried to maintain with Moscow all these decades and going all in on NATO. And it is extraordinary, and it is only happening because of the degree of absolute shock that European politicians across parties and across countries have experienced as a result of this Ukraine invasion.
Joe, we've not had an opportunity to speak since a week past, and the morning of the invasion, Thursday morning, was very early hours here. I realized it at 3 a.m. when I checked on the headlines. You were in Berlin, I believe, or perhaps you'd returned, but you were definitely in Europe. Was there shock across all of the newspapers and social media channels that you checked in Europe for the Russian tanks rolling across the border from Belarus aiming at Kyiv?
Yes, I mean, I was in Berlin at the time, but following news sources across Europe, and the shock was definitely there. And the reason is, this is the first time, really since World War II, that a major power has rolled tanks across someone else's borders in an attempt to redraw the map of Europe. I mean, certainly Europe has had very violent episodes since the war. I mean, when the Soviets came in, often the quote-unquote invitation of their client governments to suppress rebellions, or during the Civil War in the former Yugoslavia in the 1990s. So there had been far too much destruction and force in Europe since the war. But this was the first time that you had the government of a major power outright trying to redraw the map. And that is the thing that Europeans have been convinced absolutely would never happen again after the Second World War. And suddenly it did. And that was the moment, I think, that the scales really started falling from the eyes and people realized, you know, it isn't just enough for us to talk a good game about Europe and NATO. We're going to have to pony up blood and treasure to defend the Western alliance, because if Putin has been prepared to do this in Ukraine, we don't know what else he might be prepared to do or what other lines he might be prepared to test.
We're looking at Finland. We're looking at Sweden, both talking about joining NATO. But I want to come to the treasure part, Joe, of your remark. Certainly the Germans know, and the question is, do all of NATO know that this will cost, that cutting off Russia, cutting off those energy supplies means everyone bottom line is going to be unpredictable going forward? Is that clear to the European people in your measure?
Yes, I think people are very aware of that. Although I think that, there's also a certain optimism that they'll be able to manage the consequences of that. I mean, certainly one factor going on here is that the German government is now operating on the assumption that they will not run out of gas this winter, even if Putin cuts off the supply. I think that's a function of the fact that the weather has been reasonably mild, especially the past month or so, and we are already in early March, so there isn't very much winter left. So I think that part of what's happening here is an optimism that, they'll get through this winter and then have the summer to prepare for next year. But I think there's also a realization that this is a price that needs to be paid. Even if you talk to business groups in countries like Germany or elsewhere, I think that they understand that they bear serious non-energy costs if Putin gets away with this, that they have business interests across Eastern and Central Europe that are imperiled by Putin's expansionism or imperialism, and that there's also this moral issue that transcends the cost of energy, just seeing the way that the Ukrainian people are being victimized by Putin's forces. And so I think that all of that has really changed in a hurry the calculus of the way people think about the energy component of this.
Germany is taking a very large risk. The Scholz government is taking a very large risk. Joe, the U.S. is not taking a comparable risk at this point. Does Germany expect that to change?
Well, I think the key point here is that it isn't just Germany that is taking a risk. A lot of European allies are taking risks of varying degrees. I mean, certainly Britain is involved in a major effort now to try to clean up its financial industry to make it less hospitable to Russian oligarchs. And I think that that is requiring some political sacrifice and maybe some economic and financial sacrifice in Britain as well. But they are having a very live debate about how to push back on those financial flows here. And against that backdrop, these allies look at America and they see Biden in his State of the Union address last night, unwilling to make political or economic sacrifices of his own. I mean, for example, the Germans are now having a very difficult political conversation about energy policy and about whether they need to rethink some of their green priorities or climate goals that might be incompatible with the broader goal of energy independence from Russia. That is a hard argument for German politicians to have because those climate goals are very popular and it will take a while and a lot of effort to persuade the public that they need to change course. They're doing it. Biden isn't changing any of his energy policies. He's still very beholden to the climate left. And I think that there's a real danger. You end up in the situation where the European allies are making a lot of sacrifices politically. They look across at the U.S. government that under Joe Biden is still unwilling to do very simple, obvious things like tapping domestic energy sources to try to stabilize the global market and make up for the lost Russian supply. And those European allies ask, well, hang on, why are we doing all of the hard things? And Joe Biden is shirking.
I remind all of us that the foreign minister of Germany is Annalena Baerbock, representing the Greens. And she is committing her party and her government to reversing the campaign promises of many years standing. We're going to go to London next. The Johnson government and everyone watching the Federal Reserve, the intentions of Mr. Powell in these coming days about inflation and about war fighting. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics column for the Journal from London. I'm John Bannon.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.